It's Marketplace Tech for October 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Did you watch the Spurs beat the Kings last February?
Leonard one-on-one against Collison. And one for Kawhi Leonard.
When the teams meet again this season, there will be a bunch of designated virtual seats much closer to the paint. The National Basketball Association took a step into the near future this week by partnering with a company called NextVR to broadcast one game a week in virtual reality for the 2016-2017 season. The games will have their own announcers and, yes, a bevy of new camera angles. What you will need? A Samsung Gear VR headset. First game's free to watch, then you'll also need a paid subscription to the NBA's League Pass television service. What will happen to that familiar phrase, pass the chips? NBA Global Media Distribution VP Jeff Marsilio admits a friendly gathering might get a little bit weird.
Well, it's awkward, I suppose, if you're with other people who aren't also wearing VR headsets. That's pretty awkward.
But first of all, he says a lot of people are watching the games alone, and
second of all, you know, over time, and I think it's going to happen pretty quickly, the platforms will be introducing social elements.
Will NBA VR be a layup, a slam dunk, or a brick shot? Fans have their first chance to opt in on Thursday when the Sacramento Kings face the San Antonio Spurs again. All this week, we are taking a look at technology and voting in this presidential election. One of the big challenges for candidates and advocates of a number of issues is getting citizens to take the passion of the rally to the voting booth or to writing that letter to their representative. One of the startups doing this is called Phone to Action, which tries to get smartphone users to connect to their lawmaker via app. Over 4 million people have used Phone to Action. Ximena Hartsock is co-founder and president. Ximena? Tell me how it works.
Phone to Action is a platform, so we license the software to movements, to organizations, entities, anyone that is trying to connect people with their lawmakers. So sometimes the campaigns are about the sharing economy, for example. If you are a lover of Lyft, those customers can use it to support them.
And Lyft is one of your clients, so Lyft would
Correct.
Love for a bunch of folks to get in touch with their local senator or congressman when there's legislation moving through the government that involves Lyft.
Correct. The customers of companies like Lyft or Airbnb, they are not just customers. You know, they love Airbnb, they love Lyft. And so when there is an issue where they cannot use them anymore, they're going to advocate to support them and to keep them in the area.
How do you see the way we take action politically changing in the future as this technology evolves?
For the past 3.5 years, we have seen over 4 million of people using phone to action tools. And what we're expecting after the election is that a lot of the people that got engaged because of the election will continue engaging after. And that's where real change happened, because we have to keep reminding folks civic engagement doesn't really end on election day. It actually almost that's when it starts.
Or when it should start. Right.
Exactly. So a lot of the reason why people don't engage is because they don't know how.
Sure.
It's not because they don't care.
Ximena Hartsock is co-founder and president of the voting startup Phone to Action. Ximena, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you so much, Ben, for having me.
You know by now that wireless giant AT&T wants to buy Time Warner. No, not the old cable company now owned by Charter, but the content company. Think HBO and much more. The $84.5 billion deal could mean a lot of changes, but it has many hurdles to clear. Porter Bibb is with the investment bank Media Capital Partners. Porter, how should we be thinking about AT&T as a company right now?
You have to take a step back and look at what's going on in the telecom business. And AT&T had no place to go if they didn't add something. So they went after content.
There's this term called zero rating that people talk about as a kind of post-net neutrality thing that is happening, where you can basically get certain kinds of content. In this case, it would be you might get HBO on your AT&T device or AT&T plan without it counting against your data.
That's right.
And Netflix, in this hypothetical, would be a totally different story. Are we going to see this deal, if it goes through, as a blow against net neutrality potentially?
Yeah, net neutrality is going to be a major, major issue. But and I think that AT&T and Time Warner will make some concessions and commitments very similar to what Comcast did when they acquired NBC Universal. They said, A, they're not going to overcharge their competition for the content and undercharge their own customers. Secondly, the big issue, in addition to net neutrality, the regulators are going to look at is privacy. Because AT&T, when you are an AT&T cell phone subscriber, you give up an awful lot of privacy. And what happens to that? Well, that's going to have great value to advertisers who come onto the Time Warner content that AT&T is distributing. And the privacy issue is going to be probably as incendiary a regulatory issue as the net neutrality.
But you still think this deal as a whole is going to go through?
I do think it's going to go through, partly because nobody's ever been able to define exactly what net neutrality means. And I'm starting with the FCC. It boggles their minds every time they look at that issue.
Right.
But the other problem with privacy is we all gave up privacy a long time ago when the internet surfaced.
Porter Bibb, he is with the investment bank MediaTek Capital Partners. Porter, thanks for coming by.
A pleasure. Thank you.
And question for you, dear listener. How are you introducing technology to your Halloween costume or the Halloween costume of a loved one this year? A few years back, I went as a stick man thanks to a black sweatsuit and some LEDs powered by a 9-volt battery inspired by Reddit. How about you? Send us your stories and your pictures, facebook.com/marketplacetech or at Marketplace Tech on Twitter. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.